Okay, is BYU the new Pac-12 team? Because they're sure running through this conference like they own it. We're talking Washington State versus BYU in another big non-conference matchup, USC versus Notre Dame, on today's episode of Locked On Pac-12.
You are Locked On Pac-12, your daily podcast on the Pac-12 conference. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Locked On Pac-12 Podcast and making this your first listen of the day. Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. I'm your host, Cindy Robinson, former Pac-12 student athlete. And today I am joined by Locked On Utes, Brian Brown, who filled in graciously for me yesterday while I was off gallivanting doing whatever I should have not. Well, yes, I should have been doing. But either way, thank you so much for filling in for me, Brian. And thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, we let the cat out of the bag that it's your 21st birthday, and so hopefully lots of birthday wishes came in. No, I'm just playing.
Yes, I did get a lot of birthday wishes. Today is actually my birthday, and I greatly appreciate all the love that I have received. It has been amazing. I do not appreciate the Cougs deciding to take an L against those other Cougs on my birthday weekend. It just isn't right. It would like what? That was expecting a lot different results there. So, Brian, since you are a Utah fan and you understand the plight of dealing with BYU Cougars, let's dive into this matchup. And more than anything, I want to know what went wrong with my Cougars. My Cougars.
Well, I think the biggest thing is it was just the story of BYU taking advantage in certain situations. It wasn't exactly a clean football game by any stretch, but it was a game in which, I think the Cougars, the Blue Cougars' experience and depth kind of outweighed and outlasted that of your Washington State Cougars.
Okay. So one thing I'll say is that, like, you know, you and I have talked a lot about, like, teams not winning out in the Pac-12, that's just not happening. And not necessarily being upset about that because Washington State has still had a great run so far this season. But the one thing I do want to talk about is how do you think the firing of their coach affected this game in any way, if at all? Because one thing we weren't sure of is if, you know, it would have an effect like we saw with USC and how they've kind of been on an up and down roller coaster since the situation with, you know, getting their coach getting fired.
Yeah, I think that was part of it for sure. You know, they're coming off a very emotional win last week, and the news around Nick Rolovich, none of it has been positive for the program, other than Jake Dickert. I think him taking over is a good sign, but it's guys acclimating to new position coaches as they brought in two new coaches that had been with Coach Rolovich at Hawaii previously. So they understand the system. But that's a lot of change, and that's the biggest thing is at this point in the season, you want to be consistent. You know, I think you know as an athlete that when you're training, you want to eliminate distractions, you want to be consistent, you want to know what your program is so you can do the work, and it's tough to do that with everything going on.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because when you look at the numbers from the Washington State game, it wasn't a bad game for the Cougars. Like, Jaden Delores threw for 257 yards, no touchdowns, though. He did – that's a little kind of, you know, shaky there. Max Borgi went off, though, for three touchdowns, 83 yards. And so that one interception by Jaden Delora, I think I'm kind of more upset that there was no touchdowns there. So it's like, yeah, you probably shouldn't have thrown that interception. But overall, it's not like it seems like their game was fully shaken up. It just seems like BYU was able to score more and probably hold off, you know, defensively hold off Washington State in some spots more than others.
For sure. And I think that was where, you know, the stability and the experience of BYU really came into play. It was just, you know, not a clean game by any stretch. You know, some weird situational miscues. I think it's two teams that were trying to kind of bounce back after, you know, Washington State had a big win, but then lost their coach. BYU had a big loss on the road, is trying to get back in the winning ways. It was just two programs that kind of were at a crossroads, and you know, BYU kind of came out on top. I mean, they didn't kind of, there's no kind of about it. They won. But it was just, like you said, whoever had the ball last and was able to score kind of took the title on this one.
Okay, let's talk about this. BYU legit has destroyed the Pac-12, has not lost to a Pac-12 opponent at all this season. And at this point, I'm wondering, like, what is it? Is it now showing that our conference may be as weak as people think it is?
So that's the interesting part about this, and we can talk a little bit about this if we want. You know, Joe Klatt tweeted out, currently BYU football is 4-0 against Pac-12 opponents. That would currently be the best conference record, as no one else is in the conference is better than 3-1. Who's up for BYU versus Oregon football in the championship game? And the one counter I have to that is they're 0-1 against Mountain West opponents and 0-1 against they're 1-1 against Mountain West opponents and 0-1 against Big 12 opponents. So who's to say, right?
Yeah, like that's a little it's a little stretchy there, but they do have a better conference in our conference, they have the better record. But would it be BYU versus Oregon? Oregon doesn't necessarily have the, I get, well, no, because they have a loss in Pac-12. Oregon State.
Lost to Stanford.
Oregon State has one loss, or was it one loss to Pac-12 opponent?
Utah, one loss. So they've all got one loss. I think the hard part about this is that, like, it's not so much comparing apples and oranges, but it's just BYU had some, I don't want to say off weeks, but some opponents that weren't maybe as talented or strong with Utah State and Boise State, one of which those games that they lost. And they struggled with injuries in all those games, right? So they got one of three in their quote-unquote non-conference games, if we're – comparing them to Pac-12 opponents. And that's the problem with BYU, is it's just a question of depth. Do they have the depth to compete week in and week out against Pac-12 opponents? And if they were playing a Pac-12 schedule and started out the year 1-2, like, is anybody even caring about BYU? Probably right. Not. Maybe. Hard right. to say.
It is hard to say. I do think that people find any way to talk bad on the Pac-12 conference, and so we won't, you know, continue to be a part of that. But coming up next, we will discuss Washington State's next game, and that matchup will be against ASU. There's a lot to talk about there. We will go deeper later in the week with Richie Bradshaw from Locked On Sun Devils, but Brian and I are going to talk a little bit about how pivotal that matchup is for both teams, honestly, in the Pac-12 conference as a whole. But for those of you that are heavily into college football, I need to let you know about Prize Picks. It's daily fantasy made easy. Prize Picks is a leader in college sports daily fantasy. They offer more college football props than anyone in the world, and they offer all the star players of the Power Five, as well as mid-major players that you might have never even heard of. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. So all of the users that deposit and use the promo code will receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100. And the promo code is Locked On. You pick 2 to 5 players and an over and under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. And it's just you versus the projected numbers. Prize Picks allows mixed sports entries, and you can take the over on LeBron combined with the under on Mahomes, and all in the same entry. So use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's literally that easy. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. So don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, or go to the App Store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Now, of course, I love to help you guys make money, but Even better, I love to help you save money, okay? And when it comes to your car and getting things fixed and auto parts and all that, you definitely want to find the most affordable option. And that is when rockauto.com comes to play, okay? You can save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. They have literally reliably low prices for every customer, whether you're a mechanic or just an everyday person that needs certain parts to fix their car. They literally have everything you can need, from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. So go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And then write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Okay, Brian. So Washington State faces ASU next week or this weekend. And both of those teams are sitting in spaces where they're battling in their divisions for that title. Washington State was a little behind at first, considering they had lost, you know, a Pac-12 game against, I'm trying to think, it was against USC, and then they lost to Utah. So they're already two games behind in the conference, but they were going on a run, beat Oregon State, beat Stanford, beat, what is the other team that came, that they beat?
Why did I just blank on that one too?
We blanked. Oregon State, Stanford, Cal. There you go. And the rest of their conference schedule doesn't look, it's hard to say if it's too difficult or not, right? Because we just don't know what teams are going to decide to show up each week, each in whatever the case may be. But the game, going up against ASU, ASU is a dominant team, a team that has been leading, you know, the Pac-12 South for a really long time until they played you guys over in Utah. And so now that this matchup is coming into play, it's important for Washington State to get this win for Utah's sake and probably some other team's sake in the South. And it's important for ASU to get the win for Oregon, Oregon State, and some other teams up north state. So what are we seeing here? Jaden Delora versus Jaden Daniels.
That's the million-dollar question, I think, for this matchup is who is it that's going to really step forward and ball out? I thought that Jaden Daniels played excellent against Utah, did the best that he could with what he had. That team was rolling, and then the defense just kind of folded on itself in the second half. Utah four straight scoring possessions ending with TDs. You know, when even if you're still rolling on offense, it's pretty tough to overcome, you know, that kind of effort from another offense, as we saw with Utah the very next week against Oregon State, who came in and just ran the ball right down the middle of the Utah defense. So that's kind of where we're at. Like, I think we're in this weird you know, like Bermuda triangle zone of like, if you've won two in a row, watch out because you're about to lose that third one. So both of these teams are kind of coming off weird experiences. You know, Arizona State, hearing rumors, right, that things are going to be, you know, changing in terms of the coaching staff and whatnot. Saw that Antonio Pierce took down all of his Arizona State off Twitter. Who knows what that means? You know, but I think with Utah losing, that puts this team back in the fight against Washington State in terms of still having a potential chance to play for the Pac-12 championship. So you have to think that Arizona State comes out and plays tough. That being said, like, Washington State has been a sneaky good defense all year long. They've turned the ball over well. This is not an Arizona State team that really executes at a very, let's put it, perfected level. Turnovers, defense, or not defense, but penalties. They tend to let discipline get loose a little bit from time to time. And I think that's a potential area where Washington State could take advantage. Now, if we look at the FPI, it's 87% in favor of Arizona State. But we've seen that be wrong before. So I think this is going to be a good game. if Max Borgie gets his touches, watch out, Arizona State fans.
Okay, but Arizona State has their run game too, so it's kind of one of those it's tricky for everybody, right? I will say we are going into week 9, right? And at this point, it's just pivotal for everybody. Every matchup matters and counts and is going to be a determining factor to someone else's results and standings in this conference. At this point, there's no clear favorite. I don't care what anybody says. Don't believe the hype. There's no clear favorite. It's anybody's game. Anybody can take it. And I'm kind of excited about that because it makes it more intriguing to watch week in and week out, because now you're looking to see like, okay, we need to know the results versus, oh, we already know who's going to win that. You know, it's not as easy as like, oh, we know Alabama's going to take it, or we know, you know, so-and-so is going to take it. It's not easy like that for at all for this conference. And while some people may hate that, I love it personally because it keeps you on your toes. It makes things interesting. It doesn't make things mundane and the obvious of who's always going to win. And it provides other teams the opportunity to get a little bit of that success. So excited for that matchup this weekend. Excited for the rest of the matchups coming this weekend. Coming up next, we're going to discuss one of the other non-conference games that happened this weekend, USC versus Notre Dame. Huge rivalry, unfortunately. Didn't go the way of Pac-12 again there. And we're gonna talk about it. Me and Brian are gonna talk about it. But for those of you that you know have trouble with sweating, we've been letting you know about a product by Sweatblock, the Sweatblock wipes. You know, we've been talking about it a lot for the last few weeks, and I've talked to you about it, about my success story with it, I guess you would say. And we're not 100% sure if you believe us, you know? So we're going to tell you some stories from some real people who have reached out just from listening to us talk about Sweatblock and then wanting to try it themselves. So Sweatblock is a product that keeps sweat away for 7 days. It is doctor recommended, doctor created. And so some people have chose to try it and it's actually worked for them. There's been a success story for a soccer player. Sorry. He heard us talking about Sweatblock and thought it was too good to be true, which honestly, I was a little skeptical at first too. But he's always the wettest guy after practice and games, like soaking wet. It's one thing to be just sweating. It's another thing to be a little excessive. So he tried it mainly for using it under his arms. And after using it, he says he didn't have to reapply for 9 days. Obviously, he still used deodorant. But he had dry underarms after working out while everything else was still sweaty. And so that right there shows you how good this product is. For those of you that, you know, maybe still be a little skeptical, the product is dry shirt guaranteed. So if Sweatblock doesn't keep you dry, you get your money back. And I think that right there is a great indicator of how good this product is. If you or someone you care about is dealing with excessive sweat, you have to check out Sweatblock. Get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com with promo code LOCKEDON or at Amazon and CVS. Okay, Brian. So USC versus Notre Dame is a storied rivalry. And I feel like USC has been playing – well, USC has a few different rivalries, you know, to talk about this season. When they played Stanford, there was talks about how, you know, they go way back and the rivalry between them goes way back. When they played Utah, there was the history of Utah not ever winning in the Coliseum in the last 105 years or whatever it was. And now with Notre Dame, this is a rivalry that's been going back and forth for, I don't even know the number, but it's, you know, it's one of those that everyone knows about. And it's kind of weird because it's a non-conference rivalry, but nonetheless, a rivalry. And USC, unfortunately, fell short in it. And, you know, I don't want to say I'm surprised because, you know, we've been talking about how SC has gone through their ups and downs this season. And we haven't really seen them give us a consistent game for more than one game back to back, I would say. But I think for me, I still thought going into this matchup, because it is that rivalry and it is that, you know, competitiveness, that we would see a little more fight. Now, that could have been alone in that, but you tell me your thoughts.
No, I'm right with you. I think that this was a game that USC kind of woke up for about two quarters too late. In fact, Dante Williams said as much, said, we didn't lose the game. We just ran out of time. Well, part of that, coach, is like when you go forward, you got to make sure that you're setting all the clocks, you know, ahead as well, so that you guys show up for game time when it starts rather than just the second half or trying to rally in the fourth quarter like they did. But this is just – this is a team and a program that's in a really, really bad spot right now. The bottom line is that they've had some decommitments. They have had some injuries. It doesn't look like this team is playing with much passion for football right now. That doesn't speak very well to Dante Williams' ability to be a head coach at the moment, but he's stepping into a very difficult situation. I think the bigger question to ask is, why did they start the season with Clay Helton? Why did they fire him after three games? And why have they not done anything to try and get momentum in the team's favor in the media in terms of, you know, having stories or leaks or you know, Mike Tomlin put him on blast today saying, I'm not going to leave the Steelers for a college job. Kind of like, that's bad. Like that's a bad setup. That's a bad situation. Like, and especially for a school like SC, who like kind of prides them, not, there's no kind of about it. They pride themselves being the flagship of the West. They want to be the SEC style team and recruit nationally and go into the college football playoff every year. And that program has just crumbled, I think, is the only way to really describe it in the last few years.
Yeah, I agree. I do think they're in a weird space right now that they're in a hole that they can't really climb themselves out of. Going into halftime, 17-3 against a team that, don't get me wrong, Notre Dame's a great team, but a team that, you know, like, we're here to play against. We have to bring every bit of talent that we have into this matchup. There's no room for slacking, because then you're at the end of the game trying to play catch up. You can't play catch up against opponents like Notre Dame, because there is no catching up. They're taking off with the lead that you already gave them. And so at this point, at the halftime, whether or not you're one of those people who like to fight, you know, all the way to the very end, which I am typically, I know a lot of people looked at that score and knew the game was over for SC at halftime.
And you look at the stat line too, like it shows it clear as day that it was all about Notre Dame. I mean, SC outgained them with yardage. They, you know, almost, you know, 428-383, so 40 yards more, but, you know, 170 yards rushing for Notre Dame. And you look at 9 penalties for 65 yards for the Trojans and 2 turnovers against a team like Notre Dame that is ball controlled, that is disciplined, that plays physical football. Can't do that. You just can't do it. And they went out and did everything that you can't do to try to win a game. And maybe that's the biggest thing about USC right now, is that they think they can go out and make mistakes still and win games, and they just simply can't.
Yeah. Well, this weekend they'll be facing Arizona, which may be a needed pick-me-up for them. Not to say that they have any room to slack against Arizona, because as we cram on Arizona and say how, you know, bad they've been playing and the talent or whatever. But reality is that I feel like it's not that they're playing bad as much as they just don't know how to finish out games. I've seen glimpses of really great things in their game, and they've been, you know, holding strong against some really tough opponents. So I don't think this is a game that USC can, you know, just roll over and think like it's going to be an easy one. But in theory, it should be an easier matchup for USC to, you know, get that win and to hopefully turn some things around for the rest of their season, because it's not going to get too much lighter after that.
It's not. I think this Arizona team has some ability. They're trying to break in a new quarterback. That takes some time. It's a new coaching staff. I thought they played really hard against Washington, but a lot like USC, they made those self-inflicted mistakes that just absolutely took them out of the game. And so when you're a team that's on the bubble or on the come up, you really can't afford to make those kinds of mistakes and still win games. And that's really the story of the Arizona Wildcats, is that they continue to learn and grow, but they're still fighting. I think that's a really positive sign. This should be USC by at least 2 scores, though, right? Like, am I crazy thinking that?
No, not at all. Not at all. If Colorado can shut out Arizona completely, 34-0? Yes, I definitely think that USC should be able to put them away. Should. Because I've seen Arizona score 14 on Oregon and, you know, whatnot, and have other teams struggle a little bit against them. So it'll be one of those matchups that if USC doesn't come out the gate swinging, they could find themselves trying to fight back and possibly take an L to Arizona. And that right there would probably be the not only the end of their season, but the end of their confidence too.
I think at that point you likely see guys start to opt out, right? Like if you're USC and you drop one to the basement of the conference, and that's no disrespect intended to Arizona, it's just where they're at.
Right.
You know, I think Coach Jed Fish is doing a pretty good job. Like I said, they were super competitive against Washington. Just a few mistakes here and there really kind of took them off track to win that game. And Washington, being who they are, just kind of pulled away late. But it's just this is one that you cannot lose if you're USC. It's homecoming. You've got to come out and show that you're still invested, still involved. And technically, they're not that far out in terms of being competitive for the conference with so many games left and how this conference goes every year. I want to rewind it back like a week or two ago when you're like, hey, how confident are you in Utah winning out? And I was like, not very.
Yeah.
It shows out. And that's, you know, we love that about this conference, that every single week matters, that there's parity, that anybody can jump up and bite somebody and make it muddy and gross. I like that we don't have to talk about will Alabama, you know, be the second or the third seed in the playoffs when we talk here. But at the same time, like there are games where you just cannot lose, and this is one of those for USC.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, we have a full slate of matchups for this weekend. For the rest of this week, we'll be talking more about recapping from last weekend. And obviously, I will drop those rankings this Friday to tell you how we thought these teams did this week. Rankings are all over the place. They've hopped all over the place each week, but I love it like that. You never know where your team is going to land, so just hope they play well, okay? Thank you for making Locked On Pac-12 Podcast your first listen every day. Now make your second listen one of the other shows. We have multiple conference shows, and there's Locked On SEC, Locked On ACC, and Locked On Big 12, hosted by our team of experts. Less than 30 minutes, you can get the lowdown on all of those conferences. It's free and available on all platforms. You can check out Locked On Pac-12 Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. And then also on YouTube, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe, giving you content in different ways. So support and check it out. And then you can follow along on Twitter at @LO_Pac12. You can follow the Utes at Locked On Utes. It's actually, at Locked On Utes. And then you can follow Brian at Brown Bear SLC and me at _Cindy Robinson. Today you might see nothing but flooding of happy birthday posts. I apologize for that.
Don't stop. Keep them coming.
Oh, my God. I greatly appreciate all the birthday wishes and all the love. I am going into this next year feeling a bunch of love and, all of that. I feel special. So thank you all very much. Otherwise, make sure you stay locked on Pac-12 on the Locked On Network.